Welcome back to Whose Crime Is It Anyway? I'm Lisa.
And I'm Shell.
And you're listening to our first episode of Season 4. We took a few weeks off between seasons to recharge, but we're back and we're super excited to share more true crime from the true north. First, we want to welcome any new listeners for tuning in and a big thank you to all of our returning listeners. We also want to thank our listener, Brenda, for supporting us on buymeacoffee.com. If you're not sure what that is, buymeacoffee.com is a simple way of making a donation to our show. Whose Crime Is It Anyway is a self-funded podcast, and with your generosity, we're able to stay caffeinated while we research and edit each episode. So if you'd like to support our show, you can find us at buymeacoffee.com/whosecrimepodcast.
Thanks, Brenda.
So this season's going to be a little bit different than our past three seasons. For season 4, we'll be releasing bi-weekly episodes instead of weekly. So that means there will be a new episode every other Monday, and I know that means less episodes, but for us, we want to have enough time to fully dedicate ourselves to the research and making of each episode to ensure we're putting out the best content possible for everyone. So without further ado, let's get started. Today's episode was suggested to us by one of our listeners, Nicole. The case takes us back to a place we've been a couple of times already, Vanderhoof, British Columbia. Vanderhoof is a small town with 4,500 people, and it's about a 10-hour drive north of Vancouver and 40 minutes south of Fort St. James.
On June 13th, 2013, a 27-year-old mother attended a house party on the Coos Chee Reservation near Vanderhoof with her friends and family. But after she was seen leaving the party with two men that she knew, she disappeared and has never been seen since. This is the case of Immaculate Basil. Take it away, girl.
Immaculate Mary Basil, who also went by Mackie, was 27 years old and a mother to her 5-year-old son, Jameson. Her father had named her after the Virgin Mary. Mackie has 3 sisters and 3 brothers, and grew up in foster care with her sisters, which made them very close. Once they were adults and on their own, the 3 sisters would keep in touch daily, calling each other at around 10 a.m. each morning, having their, quote, sisterly chats. Mackie was hardworking and worked as a secretary and substitute teacher's assistant at a local elementary school, and according to her cousin Vanessa, her world revolved around her son Jameson. Mackie's common-law husband and the father to Jameson had broken up a few months prior to Mackie's disappearance. According to Vanessa, the breakup was a surprise to Mackie and her entire family. The reason was because he wanted to be with another woman. So Mackie would go and stay with her brother Peter. Naturally, this was really upsetting for Mackie, but as a lot of us would do in this situation, Vanessa stated that this didn't make Mackie spiral into a bender. She was actually more of an introvert, and other than the average social drinking, Mackie did not struggle with addiction or substance abuse. On Thursday, June 13th, 2013, Mackie attended a house party about a 20-minute walk away from her house. The attendance was of mostly cousins within the family, and it's unknown as to how many people were at the party because Vanessa wasn't there, but from my understanding, Mackie had attended her aunt's funeral earlier that day, so maybe this was a wake, and that's why there was mostly family there. So the day after the party, it's now Friday, and Mackie didn't call either of her sisters for their morning chat. Mackie didn't have a cell phone either, so it was hard to get a hold of her. But they didn't think too much of it and thought that she might have just been at her brother Peter's house, who also didn't have a phone. Then the next day, Saturday, still no one has heard from Mackie, and they're starting to call around and see if anyone's seen or heard from her, but no one has. Once Sunday rolled around and no one had heard from Mackie, the panic set in and they reported her missing. And shocker, the police didn't show up to take a missing persons report until 2 days later.
I mean, we hear this all the time, especially in indigenous cases as well.
The lack of urgency.
Yes, the lack of urgency is phenomenal. Like, yeah. It's just a complete cycle.
Yeah. What really set off alarm bells for her sisters was that Mackie would never just up and leave her son Jameson. And the other thing was that Mackie's makeup bag was still at home, and she loved wearing makeup. So if she was planning a sleepover somewhere, she would have taken it with her.
So was Mackie's son Jameson with his dad at this point, or was he with someone else being taken care of? Because I assume...
She was at her brother's.
She was at her brother's, so Jameson was also at her brother's.
Yes.
Okay.
Now that the police are involved, they start making their way around to get statements for the people who were at the party. And that's when the family was notified of an interesting piece of information. Although everyone within the family was calling around looking for Mackie, no one had mentioned that on the night of the party, Mackie was seen leaving with two men, one being her younger cousin, Keith, and the other was a non-family member named Victor. So why had nobody mentioned this when her sister was calling around? And another thing that became known was that at around midnight, Mackie had come back to her brother Peter's house to pick up a 2-6 of vodka. She told Peter she was with Keith and Victor, but that she would be back by the next day because she had planned to take Jameson and her nephew to the park. And my assumption that her brother hadn't shared this information was literally just probably because he didn't have a phone and no one had talked to him yet.
Right. I wonder if anyone of Keith's family had been contacted, though. Like, I wonder if Keith, it got around to him. Like, why wouldn't he say that, oh yeah, I was with Mackie last night?
Right. It's really unclear. It seems like everybody was contacted, but like, why was this information not known? It seems like they didn't speak up until the police were involved.
Yeah, which is weird.
Mm-hmm. So Keith is described as an upstanding, hardworking guy. But Victor, who is from Fort St. James, not so much. When listening to Vanessa talk about him, it made me scared in the sound of her voice. Like, she sounded extremely reluctant to say much. And she did say that she knows him to be, quote, not a very upstanding person, and he used to be mean to his ex-wife. And then she said, quote, I'm scared of him, to be honest. I wouldn't want to be left alone with him, if you know what I mean. That's just how afraid of him I am.
So not a great person to be hanging out with, but maybe Mackie felt okay about it because she knew him, obviously knew him through other people or her own personal relationship with him, but they were with Keith.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that it maybe took the pressure off of if it was just her and Victor alone.
Right.
Maybe she wouldn't have felt comfortable, but right. With Keith there, she was like, yeah, it's just like casual. We're hanging out, having drinks.
Exactly.
Whatever.
So Victor is quite a bit older than Keith and Mackie. He's born in 1965. So in 2013, he was 48 years old. And Mackie's 27.
Whoa. Wait. Okay. So I mean, that's just like it's a bit of an age difference.
Huge age difference.
And if he's already not a great, like doesn't have a great reputation within the town and within like the circles of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just assumed this was another, you know, 27, 30-year-old
yeah.
kid. Yeah.
So it changes things a little bit.
It does. Yeah.
Victor was also a member of the Indigenous community, so that's probably why everybody kind of knows each other.
Okay, so do we know what happened after they left the party? You know, Mackie came back to her brother's place to get the 2-6 of vodka, to hang out with the guys. Do we know what happened next?
So the police did talk to Victor and Keith. And according to them, they left the party with Mackie in Victor's white truck and went up to a working cabin near Grand Rapids to pick up some tin roofing for one of the elders, and that Mackie went along for the ride. But Grand Rapids is literally an hour drive, so not only is it odd that they are just going to get work supplies in the middle of the night after being at a party, but it's not even a quick little stopover either.
I feel like that doesn't seem right. It just is like, why don't you do it tomorrow morning?
Right. And Mackie picked up a 2-6, so obviously they were planning to go party some more.
Right, exactly.
They then said that shortly after loading up the white truck and leaving this cabin, they got in an accident on Leo Creek Forest Service Road. Then they said that they walked back to the cabin to get a black work truck to try and pull this white truck that had crashed into a large tree and was stuck in the mud. During this time, they stated that this was when they parted ways with Mackie and she left walking by herself on the service road.
Near Grand Rapids?
Yeah. So it's like all along like logging road kind of area.
Yeah, but then where would she have gone? Like it's exactly. Not like you can easily hail a cab from there.
No, exactly.
And as men too, like why would you let her go alone? Just stay here, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And then we'll figure this out together.
That's like the biggest question of all of this. It's like why did she leave then? Like what happened?
Maybe she felt uncomfortable or didn't feel safe, and so she felt like she'd be safer by leaving.
Right, like I'm not getting back into the car with you. Maybe it was like reckless driving, and she's like, fuck that, I'm not getting back in the car.
I mean, the accident seems suspicious. If they were at a party already, they might have been drinking and driving. Do they know whether they had, like, did they test whether they were drunk that night or anything like that?
By the time the cops got involved, right, it had been
3 days?
Yeah, at least 3 days. They wouldn't be able to test that.
There's no way.
While Keith and Victor were pulling out Victor's white truck, the cable that was attached to the black truck blew out its axle. So now that truck was busted. So they ditched the black work truck, got back into Victor's white truck, and left. And this part did check out because the police went and found the black truck with the cable still tied to the axle that they used and found all the broken truck parts from the white truck and the broken tree that was like in half.
Wow. Okay, so the story actually checks out.
Yeah. Police searched a 20-kilometer radius of the area of the cabin for a full week with ground and air searches, but came up with no sign of Mackie. Multiple search and rescue groups were dispatched, and her family and friends also searched extensively around the area and came up empty-handed. Keith and Victor have not spoken openly with the family or done any public interviews, giving any sort of explanation of what happened that night. But according to Vanessa, they fully cooperated with the police and both passed a polygraph test.
I was just about to ask, did they take a polygraph?
Yeah, and they passed.
Okay.
A psychologist also allegedly determined that they were telling the truth and that this story was checking out, that there was nothing suspicious going on.
But it still seems weird to me that Mackie would just leave. Maybe she just got fed up with what they were doing. Like maybe she thought it was going to be more of a party and it ended up being super boring. And so she was like, now we've crashed, I'm just going to head off on my own.
Yeah, like fuck this, I'm out of here kind of a thing.
Yeah, see ya, peace. Yeah.
So the party was on Thursday. Mackie came to her brother's house at midnight to pick up this 2-6, right? So by the time it took an hour to get up to this cabin, it would be 1 in the morning on Friday.
Did they ever find the 2-6?
No.
I'm just wondering where that is.
I haven't read anything about this 2-6. So like maybe they did, but they haven't talked about it.
Yeah, because I wonder if, you know, was it in the car that she was like drinking in the car or something? Or was it like left at someone else's place? I mean, it's 2-6 of vodka. Anyone could have that. But it would be interesting to know where that bottle ended up.
I know, but we don't know. Like maybe it was still in the white truck that they took back. Who knows?
Right.
So now we're on Friday. At 10 a.m. on Friday, before anyone knew that Mackie was missing, Vanessa had come to visit her cousin, Ron, in Tatchy. When they looked outside the living room window, they saw Victor walking by himself, but there was something that really stood out. His clothes were soaking wet from his feet all the way up to his chest. Now remember, Victor and Keith allegedly told the RCMP that the truck had crashed into a tree and was stuck in the mud. So it's not like it crashed into a lake or any body of water. And there are a lot of lakes in that area, but the road that the truck crashed on was apparently about a kilometer away from the closest lake. Why are you soaking wet?
Yeah, it's not just like a jaunt over to a lake. I'm going to go for a swim.
Right.
I would have to actually go to the lake. yes. to go into it.
And your clothes are soaked.
Why?
Yeah. According to Vanessa, Victor didn't have a job that required him to work near water. She also stated that she told the police of this sighting, so they probably would have asked him about this in his interviews. RCMP did take possession of Victor's white truck, but we don't know what information they came up with. And we don't even know why the truck crashed in the first place, but maybe we can assume that it was because of alcohol being involved.
Yeah, impaired driving, yeah. That's what I would assume. So, I have another question. Mm-hmm. Did the police search any nearby lakes to see whether Mackie was perhaps in a lake?
From my understanding, they did some like very extensive searches. They didn't specify if they actually swept any of the lakes or had any divers. They had dogs. They did air and ground searches. And there's tons of bodies of water up there. So, I mean, like, it would take probably forever to search all of them, but I'm not sure. To Vanessa, Keith has never had a conversation with any of his family members about what happened that night. Although it does sound suspicious, they do not appear to be persons of interest in the case. Mackie's ex-husband was also questioned, but the RCMP said that he had an alibi. And something to make note of is that Mackie's cousin Bonnie Joseph disappeared on the notorious Highway of Tears. So Mackie was very aware of this Highway of Tears and the missing and murdered Indigenous women. So she made sure to take extra measures to ensure her safety. She was on it, and she never hitchhiked either. That was like the number one thing, don't hitchhike.
So then it seems weird that she would walk away.
Exactly.
If she was already, you know, on alert, you know, you've had a family member obviously fall to this tragic Highway of Tears, which is just awful. So she knows, and you're out in the middle of nowhere, you're on a logging road in Grand Rapids. Where is she going? Like, did exactly. she have a destination? I wish that Keith or Victor could offer up a little bit more information.
I know.
As to what was her state of mind at mm-hmm. that point?
Mm-hmm.
Where was she headed? What did she say while right. she was leaving? Did she say, like, you know, peace out, I'm going to find my way home, or I've called someone to come pick me up, or mm-hmm. something? Like, I wonder even if, I know she didn't have a phone, but maybe Keith or Victor had a phone and she used it to call someone. Like, I don't know, that person would have probably come forward, but I just wish that we had some more information on, you know, what happened before she walked down that road.
Right. And like, were they told by the police to not talk to people? Were they advised right. to just like keep their mouth shut? Don't go talking to the press. Like, don't be talking about this because it's still an open investigation. I have no idea. There was a rumor going around that some forestry workers on the service road saw Mackie on the Friday attempting to hitchhike, but RCMP looked into this claim and determined that it was not true. Later on, while I was doing my research, I discovered that Victor had previous convictions before Mackie's disappearance, including assault and sexual assault. I don't know.
Not great.
It's just not a good look.
It's not a good look. And also with Vanessa's statement as well, saying that, you know, she didn't feel very great about this person.
She's afraid of him.
Yeah, afraid of him. I feel like, okay, he could be an unsavory character, but maybe Mackie felt, like, again, I think she probably felt safe because mm-hmm. Keith was there.
Right.
I mean, I don't know, but I don't believe that she would have gone with Victor alone.
Yeah, I think that's probably safe to say. I agree with that.
But what if Victor and Keith were in on something? Like, what if this wasn't a trip to go and get parts? Like, what if this was a trip to go and get drugs or something else? And something went wrong and Mackie got hurt. And then they ended up, like, the whole reason why they took the truck or, like, got in an accident is because they were, like, high on adrenaline
mm-hmm.
trying to, like, dump her body. I don't know. That's me speculating like wildly, but we just don't know.
I know. Like, did she really walk away? Did something happen before did she really walk away? Like, what caused that car to crash?
Yeah.
Investigators do not believe that Mackie left on her own accord because of her son, Jameson, who she adored. They've also not ruled out foul play or that she was attacked by an animal. So maybe Mackie did, in fact, resort to hitchhiking and was picked up by someone dangerous and random. and we can't forget that the area where she went missing does fall within the Highway of Tears corridor. So even though she was extremely responsible, it's still a possibility that she resorted to hitchhiking, knowing that she didn't have a cell phone to call for help, and there also wasn't any cell service even if she had one.
Yeah, so there's really no way to contact anyone.
We don't know if she was injured in the truck accident with Victor and Keith, and we also don't know why she split up with them after the crash. So another possibility is that she did get injured. Apparently from the tree that they did hit and smashed in half, they would have had to have been going super fast. So it wouldn't be surprising that she would hit her head in the crash, getting a concussion. So maybe what Keith and Victor said about her walking away was true, and maybe by accident, she stumbled into one of the nearby lakes and then accidentally drowned.
But this doesn't explain why Victor was soaking wet. Did he go after her?
Yeah.
Like, did he try to save her? And if he did, then why didn't he say anything?
I know.
And also, the reverse of that is that she did hit her head and she died in that accident.
And they were trying to cover it up.
And they tried to cover it up. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's why Keith has never talked about it with the family, because it's too traumatic.
It's now been 8 years, and Immaculate Basil's case has gone cold. At the time of her disappearance, Mackie was 5'5", had semi-long, straight black hair, brown eyes, and weighed 125 pounds. She was wearing gray leggings, white shoes, a black hoodie with a red maple leaf, and had her dark blue iPod Shuffle and white headphones with her. None of the items have been recovered, and we still have no new leads on where Immaculate Mary Basil could be. And with that, we are still left wondering, whose crime is it anyway? $20,000 reward is being offered for information that could help locate Immaculate Basil. If you have any information regarding her disappearance or whereabouts, please contact the RCMP E Division at 250-649-3900.
Thanks so much for listening to another episode of Whose Crime Is It Anyway? We will be back in 2 weeks with our next case. Until then, follow us on Instagram at Whose Crime Podcast and on Twitter at Whose Crime Pod. And if you would like to donate to our show, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/Whose Crime Podcast. Bye.
Toodles.